Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of my guests, and the views of our callers, too. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have a very special guest this evening, one of the great supporters of Radio Liberty, Bill Sardi. And we're going to be talking about, what's happening with the FDA, the new revelations that Dr. David Graham had made with testifying before congressional committees. You know, when one person dies, it's a terrible tragedy. If somebody engineered something specifically that led to the death of 5 or 10 people, it would be an atrocity. But when 80 to 139,000 Americans die because a drug company put a drug that they knew was unsafe on the market, it simply becomes a statistic. Oh, there may be some lawsuits, but if one person committed a murder, they would go to prison. If one person killed 10 people, they would go to prison. If you are a drug company executive and you put a drug that you know is unsafe on the market, and you kill 80 to 139,000 Americans, why you'll probably get a nice fat bonus and simply retire from the company. And there may be some losses, but nobody's going to go to prison. And there's something inherently wrong with the scenario I put out, and yet that's exactly what has happened in America. Where is the outrage? That's what bothers me more than anything. Bill, where is the outrage on the part of the American people?
Well, I think that American people are busy making a living, and I think they're waiting to be led. Where is the news media, the fourth estate, that's supposed to step in where... And to be the conscience of the country, to step in and do the investigative journalism, where are they here? There's very little of this being done here. And the magnanimous, you know, the gigantic proportion of this is hard to comprehend. Every Christmas time we have a group in the government here that looks at Christmas toys and says, you know, a baby got strangled, so if there was one death, there's great, oh, let's take that product off the market, and let's change this and do that. All over one or two little things that happen, and of course they're tragic, especially unavoidable when they're babies. We are talking about something greater than the disaster of thalidomide. I mean, we are talking not only that this was stupidity, but it was covered up. That while the FDA was in on the cover-up, not just Merck, the drug company involved here in this Vioxx scandal, certainly Merck drug its feet, it knew about this since 1996, it was going out and giving its sales representatives information as to how to dispel all the questions about the safety of their product, and they just looked the other way. But at that same time, the FDA was belittling its own researcher, David Graham, and had trying to hush him up while he was trying to disclose all this. So we see great corruption on both sides, the whistleblowers, the referees, which should be the Food and Drug Administration. They forgot to blow their whistles. And, of course, the real whistleblower turned out to be David Graham. And, of course, they're now chastising him for doing it.
In fact, they're going after him. They're going to marginalize him. They're demonizing him. They've already removed him from his regular job. They're going to probably put him into some menial job, trying to harass him into retirement or keep him on doing absolutely nothing until the time comes for his retirement. You see, that's what happens to people who reach out and try to expose these terrible, terrible things that they're doing that are actually killing people. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking to Bill Sarney this evening. And I just wanted, of course, to tell the story. I think it deserves repeating. Bernice Eddy, Dr. Bernice Eddy, who worked for the National Institute of Health. And she was a researcher who had actually been the woman who had found that there was live poliovirus in the original cutter polio vaccine that was given back in 1955. And because it was killing monkeys in the laboratory, she reported it to the government. They released the polio virus anyway, and it killed a couple of hundred people and crippled I don't know how many. But instead of congratulating Dr. Eddy, she was banned, she was punished, she was marginalized. And then, of course, they released the Sabin monkey, the polio vaccine that was grown in the culture of the kidney of green monkeys. Pardon me, of rhesus monkeys. And Dr. Eddy actually snuck into the lab one night, looked at their cultures, saw cells were dying, and said, I think there's a cancer virus or something in there actually killing these cells. And she worked it out. She found there was a cancer virus in the vaccine, and it was injected in the hamsters, produced tumors. And eventually, of course, why she made a public statement about that. Immediately, she was chastised and discredited and banned ever presenting another paper again. And yet eventually the people at Merck, doctor working at Merck, actually found there was a cancer-producing virus in the polio vaccine. So instead of course, congratulating Dr. Eddy, why she was punished for trying to save the lives of millions of Americans. Now, millions of Americans got the contaminated polio vaccine with the cancer-producing virus in it, and people are dying across America today as a direct result of that. Dr. Eddy, of course, was never again allowed to speak. She was humiliated, demonized, demoted. That's what happens to people who tell the truth, who try to save lives in America. And you would think that there would be outrage. but there's not. And now we see the same thing with David Graham, Dr. Graham. So you pick up the story of Dr. Graham's testimony, trying to warn the American people, not an open testimony, that there are a number of dangerous drugs on the market, and the FDA is in bed with the drug companies.
Well, certainly you as a physician are vulnerable just like all the rest of us. Every doctor is. When they get information, drug representatives come, you think they're part of an ethical drug company. So we can't blame our doctors. They're somewhat outraged as well and misled. But this isn't the only drug. Vioxx selling $2.5 billion of pills every year. But there are five other drugs that Dr. Graham pointed out in his article that really was an interview in the British Medical Journal.
Hold that thought right there, Bill, for just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan, Bill Sardi is with us this evening, a health journalist who actually does a tremendous amount of research for each of the programs we do. And he's talking about how Dr. David Graham, who recently testified before a congressional or Senate committee, pointed out there not only Vioxx, but there are five other drugs out there that are dangerous, that the FDA refuses to do what they should do to protect the health of the American people. So go ahead.
Well, just as I sat down for dinner tonight before the program, the television was on in the other room, and I could see an ad for Crestor, this advanced cholesterol statin drug. And, of course, it was one of the drugs that Dr. David Graham fingered as a potentially dangerous drug. He's seen the inside data. Remember, now, this is a man who's worked for the FDA as a reviewer for 20 years. He certainly knows what he's talking about. He added to the list the acne drug, Accutane, and immediately now this week, the FDA has taken stringent action to tighten up some of its regulations on Accutane. It's a drug that will cause people to commit suicide. It's a drug that causes terrible birth defects, so the FDA took action. But it's an admission that they were leaving a hole open, that they should have done this. The poor babies were being born with birth defects, and of course, the FDA could have stepped in and stopped this earlier. It took Dr. David Graham to point this gaping hole out, and of course, it's an admission on their own as they fix it that they had left the door open on some of these things. The pain reliever, Bextra, the asthma drug, Cerevent, and there's more than all of this, you see, because even on my own study yesterday, I discover another drug called Avandia. Now, this is a drug that hit the Reuters news media in England. It hasn't hit here yet. You wonder why they're hushing it up. It'll eventually get out because this is just another drug. It's for diabetes, type 2 diabetes. It is a drug that, in its class, a different drug but similar molecule called Resulin was withdrawn from the marketplace here. Oh, this was maybe 20 months ago or so. It killed, 40 or 50 people, something like that. It was a terrible drug. There was 90 cases of liver failure, a number of deaths. This was removed from the market 36 months after it was hit. This is the same molecule. This is the same guy. They're now reporting that if you take this drug, all of a sudden, now this is an FDA-approved drug, and they're reporting that your good HDL cholesterol almost bottoms out. You almost can't find it. The triglycerides rise crazily. This is very, very dangerous. They sent up a warning flag. They have three cases in hand, two more they're aware of. But they said that previous to this, there were 1,400 cases used to get this drug approved. They didn't find one case. Well, you see, that's the whole point. How come they're not finding any of these side effects before? Well, we found when Celebrex, which is a similar drug to Vioxx, which was just removed from the market by Merck for increasing the risk of death, cardiac death, by 88,000 to 139,000 deaths in the time it's been marketed and been on the marketplace. Well, Celebrex, its other little partner, anti-inflammatory COX-2 inhibitor, it got approved on the marketplace as being safer for the gastric tract. It didn't cause the gastric hemorrhages and ulcers. And that was its claim to fame. It was better than ibuprofen. But when the FDA evaluated the study for this, Celebrex, the company, only gave the FDA 6 months of the data. It was a 12-month study. If the FDA had all the study in their hand, the 12 months of data, they would have found out right then that Celebrex was no better. In fact, it was actually a little worse than ibuprofen itself. It would have never been approved. You see, now we look at this other drug, Avandia, for the obviously for type 2 diabetes, and we wonder, why weren't these side effects showing up beforehand? Now, not only does this come about, and the researchers remarkably say they're so surprised they hadn't seen this before, I don't know what they're talking about, because last night I went on the National Library of Medicine and found reports dating back 2 years that show that there were people warning about this, and that this drug was approved without any review of mortality or morbidity rates whatsoever. How can you do that?
Well, I think we have some of the finest bureaucrats in the FDA that money can buy. And if they are not being paid now, they will leave the FDA and they will go to work for the drug companies that they've been regulating. And this has been going on for a long time. They play musical chairs and revolving doors. And they go from the FDA directly over into these drug companies. And they're given fantastic jobs and fantastic retirement benefits and a golden parachute. And, of course, it's simply a matter of a payoff for a lot being allowed to harm the American people. And what I'm saying is that FDA is corrupt, but we've known this for a long time. Certainly have talked to people who've worked for the NIH who told me about how the FDA would cover up for specific things, and then the high FDA officials would go to work for the drug companies. This was happening back in the 1970s. Nothing's changed, because when you have a society where we've taken God and prayer out of our schools and there are no moral foundations, starting back in the 1960s, why, you know, 40 years later, these people are in key positions in government. Why should we be surprised that these people have no moral foundation? They don't care how many people they kill. They're not going to go to prison for it. You can't prove that there was anything there after all. You know, and the drug companies say, well, we gave them our test, but, well, we just withheld those other studies. And nobody ever goes to prison. Have you noticed that, Bill? Nobody goes to prison. Oh, they may get fined a few million dollars. There may be some lawsuits.
Well, in this case, this is not an oversight, or just that the fact that these side effects occurred after. That what they have is a safety monitoring system. After a drug gets approved, because there's widespread use, then certain side effects that may not have shown up in a smaller group study, of course, would become apparent as this goes into wider use. So they keep a safety net steady going. This isn't just about the innocent, oh, look what we found. This is a cover-up. This is fraud. Where is the FBI? Where is the chief executive officer of the United States calling for an investigation? Where is the Inspector General of the United States? Where are the police? Where are the whistles being blown? Nothing is happening.
No,
we had a little thing in Congress, and Senator Charles Grassley gets up and points fingers. That's all we've got here.
Well, we do have Dr. David Graham. Of course, he's been relieved of his position. He's being punished. He's being criticized. The people in the FDA are saying, why he's not talking about the FDA, we know. Why, we would never cover up anything at all. And they're the ones that get promoted, and Dr. Graham's career is ruined forever. But where is the outrage from the people? When are we going to demand that our elected representatives do something? And if they don't do something, then they're not fit to be our representatives.
Well, there's no question here that something is terribly wrong. And, of course, we have 5 more drugs to be uncovered here. If anybody knew about this terrible drug, Accutane, that should have been pulled off the market long ago for acne, I've suffered through many phone calls and emails with people as they've suffered through all the terrible side effects of all this. And, of course, the one thing that we wanted to bring up was, in the wake of all this, the FDA, in the very same week all this is occurring, decides that it is going to take stringent action against dietary supplements. Of course there's some cleaning up to do. Of course there's some mislabeling. Of course there's all those little things that go on, and they're disappointing, false claims that something cures cancer as an example, but nothing like this. And the very week they're trying to point fingers at the innocent little vitamin supplements while they've got a disaster under their own desk here. And of course, what we're asking about is this relates, because what they're saying is those nasty little dietary supplements don't have to prove they're safe before they go on the market. And what we want to do is make sure that they're thrown into the same safety system We want what safety system? There is none. Dr. David Graham saying the FDA is incapable of protecting the United States citizens against another drug like Vioxx. Can we hear this? The FDA is derelict. There are, if you were watching a basketball game and you were watching, how could you have a game without referees?
Well,
if they're not
that,
blowing the whistles, what are we going to do?
Well, recently the president said that there should be no lawsuits against any drug manufacturer if their product, if their drug had been cleared by the FDA, because if you could were free to sue a drug company after it had been cleared by the FDA, we would tend to discredit our regulatory organizations. In other words, we would be suggesting we don't trust them, and I would like to suggest that's exactly what we should be suggesting, because if this thing has been corrupt, and you can see time and time and time again, the material that is posted up on Bill Sardi's website, he sent me last night, shows time and time and time again how high government officials, for instance, when NutraSweet was authorized, it's a poison, it's being put in, it's been around for 25 years, it's done irreparable harm to the American people, and yet 10 officials of the FDA, after authorizing NutraSweet's release, knowing full well that it was consisted of methanol, which is a deadly poison, aspartame, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine, both of which have terrible toxic effects on the brain. After authorizing that, 10 FDA officials went to work for companies associated with J.D. Cyril, which, of course, made billions of dollars from the sale of aspartame, or which we call NutraSweet. So this is nothing new. This has been going on for at least 25 years.
Well, and of course, our news media could point these things out, but we have to question how many people in the news media really have been silenced here. How many of them own stock in all these drug companies? You know, they get all these studies 10 days before they get published. They can buy all the stock they want, knowing which is going to go up and which is going to go down. How many of them are really playing fair?
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our founding fathers realized you couldn't trust government, and that's why they restricted the power of the central authority so people could be free. What we've done is increase the power of the central authority in the name of helping the people, and look what's happening. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and the people who created the United States, the founding fathers of this country, were very wise. They felt that people were inherently evil. They could not be trusted with authority, and that's why they wanted to limit the authority of the central government and to disseminate the authority through the various states, because it's much harder to corrupt the administrations of, say, 50 states that have one centralized authority. So, well, that is a background, Bill. Of course, I know how deeply you feel about this, but it sounds like they're going to marginalize, they're going to destroy the career of Dr. David Graham, unless there's an outcry. And already we see the outcry diminishing. He, of course, has lost his future with the Federal Drug Administration. And there will be a few lawsuits there. They'll have some class action suits. But the lawyers will say, well, how do you know that there's all these heart attacks came? They might have come even if you hadn't taken your Vioxx. And it doesn't matter about statistics. We're talking about individual cases. And maybe the lawyers will probably come out very well. I doubt that most of the people who have died or their relatives will be compensated, because after all, the current administration is in bed with the drug companies. They're giving massive amounts of money for the reelection of politicians, and those politicians, of course, are going to look to the hand that feeds them, certainly not to the electric, unless there is an inflamed, angry electorate who say, we're not going to put up with this sort of thing. And then, of course, Bill has been talking about how now they want to regulate vitamins, the amount of vitamin C that can be in a vitamin C capsule, the amount of vitamin E that can be in a vitamin E capsule. What business is that of the government if somebody wants to take 10,000 units of vitamin E? Or I mean, shouldn't that be left to the individual? Or are,
well,
we to have everything regulated by
the
government?
There are a few precautions, but I think you can do this with labeling. Remember that private companies are still liable for what they do. And so you know, without having to go to the FDA, you put a product on the market. If it kills someone, if it harms someone, if it's not safe, you'll be out of business, and you're certainly, or your insurance company is going to be paying a lot of money. So, you know, with that personal responsibility involved, and you could be sued personally if you're not behind the shield of the corporation doing something outside of what's kosher, then, of course, you know, you have a responsibility here. But when you're able to hide behind the idea that government approved this and you can't be sued and so on, now this is another area of irresponsibility that is kind of, I guess, institutionalized. The terrible part of this whole thing is that we don't know how much more is in the FDA closet. Remember, David Graham was running to the British Medical Journal while Merck then got forced to disclose this data, said, well, we're going to go back and take a second look at it. They knew about it since 1996. And then the FDA was saying, but Dr. Graham, their immediate response was, he didn't follow protocol. Oh, how terrible. Would you like a man to break ranks to save people's lives? Of course you would.
Of course, if you go through protocol, nothing happens, and I can know that. Dr. Eddie tried to go through ranks. I know other people working in government who've tried to go through ranks, and of course they're told to be quiet. You have to break protocol if you want to save lives.
Merck had this information. They were covering it up. They had their salesmen going out and you know, firing back and saying their product was safe. When it gets to be $2.5 billion of sales, when you let the damage go that far, now this could bring down Merck, and that could bring down all the drug stocks, and that could bring down all the stock market. If you've been looking like this, is how terrible it is.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening is Bill Sardi. We're talking about the Vioxx tragedy, the fact that Merck had known all along that these studies were there. They'd known for at least 3 to 4 years that they were going to increase the incidence of heart attack or stroke up to 300%. And as a direct result of this, according to Dr. Graham, somewhere between 138,000 and 139,000 people may have died. And yet, of course, if this does result in massive lawsuits against Merck, it could bring down the Merck company, the drug company. It could bring down a number of drug companies who have done exactly the same thing with the full help and support of the FDA. But if that would happen, the stock market would drop out, because the drug companies are one of the few things that are keeping the stock market up. Think of the impact then on everybody's pension funds. What happens when you're planning on retiring and you're invested in the stock market, and of course in drug and various companies, and all those, the stocks really big in the bottom out. So the implications of what's going on is really almost frightening. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, it certainly is frightening, and here we just don't know where we're going. I don't know how many of your loved ones are taking 7, 8, and 9 of these drugs that they have on the market. You don't realize that none of the drugs for hypertension work. None. Zero. There's a report on my website that explains that they have to put you on 2 or 3 of these medications to get it to work. The cholesterol drugs, the doctor will look you straight in the face and tell you, you need this, your cholesterol is up, you could die. But the cholesterol drug, only one person in 71 in a major review by the University of British Columbia showed that only one of 71 patients taking a statin cholesterol drug will avert death. It will prevent heart attacks. It won't prevent death. You'll still die, and 70 of you will take the drug at a cost of $1,000 a year and have no health benefit whatsoever.
But so, doesn't it actually work by poisoning the liver? Isn't that how the statin drugs
that's
work?
That's how it works, and of course this is a whole shameful exercise that's gone in the wrong direction, because what we're trying to do is cut down the cholesterol that's just passing by. Think of logs in a stream. They're just passing by. Where the problem is in the donut, not the donut hole, where the blood is passing through the arteries. There is plaque in the artery. That has nothing to do, pretty much, with what's going on. You can lower your circulating cholesterol that's passing by in your bloodstream with your statin drugs, while the plaque in your arteries is building up at 2.5% a year. The FDA knows this. These drugs don't work. And, of course, the data they use is that the statin cholesterol drugs decrease the risk of dying by 30% and so on. But they're rigging the deck there. That's among very, very serious patients who have severe issues going on in cardiovascular disease. Then they're telling 24 million other Americans who are perfectly healthy, they only have a number that's elevated, that this will produce the same reduced risk. When the Journal American Medical Association last year published its giant and largest study to date on cholesterol drugs, it showed there was only 0.4% reduction in mortality rates, almost none. And, of course, when we look at the side effects, if you're taking that drug, has your doctor told you? Almost everyone taking these drugs has some sort of muscle aches and cramps, and that's an overt sign of a potential mortal side effect. Your muscle tissue is breaking down. It can clog your kidneys. You can die suddenly. So would you like to take a drug that can do that? Would you like to take a drug that's toxic to your liver? Because that's where your cholesterol is made. So they decided to make something that makes the liver malfunction. You have to go in for frequent liver enzyme tests. If you have elevated liver enzymes and you're not on a cholesterol-lowering drug, they think you've either got hepatitis or you have liver cancer, something very serious. Why would you do that intentionally to the liver to cause enzymes to be elevated like that? So this is the kind of problem we're facing, toxic drugs getting on the market. I don't think you'd ever see Tylenol ever approved again. It causes over 70,000 visits to emergency rooms. It's the number one cause for liver transplants in the country. It is also a liver toxic drug. But oh no, they had to go after Kava. Kava, a little innocent herb, which they said was harming the liver. It's a little antidepressant. It didn't do a darn thing. They couldn't find any cases, but they scared everybody from taking it while, of course, Tylenol stayed on the market.
They have a recent ad on Tylenol, and it says, read the directions, read the label, and if you're not going to read the label, we don't want you taking our drug. Why? Why, very simply, because it says that it can lead to liver failure there. And at one time, of course, people were taking aspirin. And then they came up, they scared doctors away from aspirin, and they put us onto a hepatotoxic drug, which is Tylenol. And more people die, you know, from liver failure, complications of taking Tylenol. That's what this, remember this woman, watch it next time you see it on television. If you don't read our directions, we don't want you taking our drug. Why? Because we want to cover ourselves if your liver fails. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Bill Sardi. And, you know, there's so many things going on today in the drug field. And, of course, so much of television advertising is, oh, take Crestor, or take Viacs. Well, of course, they stopped running those wonderful Viacs, ads. That what a wonderful morning. I remember the skating champion. She's out there. You know, I don't know whether she took Viacs or not, but she was telling how now her arthritis didn't hurt anymore, and she's skating across the ice, leading this little band of children. We've all seen those ads. And they knew very well that when they put those on, this product dramatically increased the incidence of heart disease and stroke, and they concealed that because they were making $2.5 billion a year.
Well, $2.5 billion is a lot of money, and it's all about jobs. We're showing that the values in this country by the elites are all about money and jobs. Of course, we know that the love of money, not money itself, is the root of all evil. It's proven here. As we're trying to just cover for jobs and money, and we don't care if people die in the process, where are our values?
Well, that's the thing, Bill. I see nothing wrong with making money, working hard, getting ahead, but there has to be a moral foundation for society, because if there isn't, then society collapses. And that is exactly the direction we've headed. There's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned its back on God and God's teachings where that nation has survived.
Well, certainly, when we just don't have, we need the different branches of government for checks and balances. Here we should have had the judicial branch, which normally would have had the FBI pursuing this, but in this case, the FBI has been moved since I was in school, and it's now under the executive branch. We don't have someone looking at the executive branch and able to investigate it as the FBI did before, and now it's under the executive branch. Where's the chief executive in all this? Where is he? Where is the outrage? Where is the leader of the country saying there's something wrong, hundreds of people have died, hundreds of thousands, we need to do something about this immediately, I'm going to launch an investigation?
What the president is saying is, we want laws passed so that nobody can sue a drug company as long as, of course, their product has been authorized by the Federal Drug Administration, because, after all, if you can sue a drug company after the FDA has approved it, why we break down our confidence in the regulatory function of government? And I say, why pox on the regulatory system of government? We can't trust it today because we have corrupt people there, because we've lost our vision of God. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our special guest this evening is Bill Sardi, who is a health journalist. And, Bill, how can people get to your website?
Well, it's AskBillSardi.com. AskBillSardi.com, S-A-R-D-I at the end, and you'll see wonderful reports there on autism and high blood pressure and antioxidants and vitamins and women's hormones and the change of life for women. Should they take calcium? How do they fix their bones? Lots of good reports, all with the references. We try to uphold high standards. There's no commercialism. You can get all the reports for free there, and that's good information. If you want to wade through it, you'll have a lifetime of learning there. And, of course, to discover the basic theme, and, of course, there's a lot about vitamin C on my website now, but, you know, a basic theme on my website is, of course, the biological action of virtually every one of these dangerous prescription drugs can be duplicated with dietary supplements. Just somebody has to guide you and tell you how and how to get there, how to get off of these drugs. You know, all these people going to Canada trying to buy drugs cheaper when they don't even need to buy these crazy drugs. The very definition of a prescription drug is a side effect, because they have to alter and tailor these molecules to be synthetic as they pass through the body. They'll produce a side effect. That's how they get their patents and make all their money. So nature has unpatentable molecules. They pass through the body with far less side effects. That doesn't mean we use them, without good judgment, without learning a little bit about them. And certainly, like Accutane, the drug we pointed out for acne previously, that's a synthetic form of really a vitamin A, which can also be troublesome in high doses.
Now, let's go right now to John, who's calling us from Post Falls, Idaho. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, remember our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. John in Post Falls, are you there?
I'm there. Yes, gentlemen.
You have a question.
A couple of comments, actually. The FDA is the most evil and pernicious bureaucracy on the planet. The reason I say this is the ATF can take your guns, the IRS can take your dollars, but only FDA can get you to take drugs and take your life and have you believe them that they're doing a favor for you.
All right. Any other comment?
Yeah. The second one is a great deal of the symptoms, cyclooxygenase number 2 inhibitors, i.e. Vioxx and its ilk, are designed to control, can be controlled with good nutrition. And there was virtually no side effects. It's my understanding that the reason cyclo number 2s were thought so great when they first came out is, unlike aspirin, which indiscriminately blocks cyclo 1 and cyclo 2, Vioxx only blocks cyclo number 2, and therefore you don't get the bleeding of aspirin. But it's often much, the really rate-limiting factor in the generation of cyclo number 2, which generates inflammation, is arachidonic acid, and it's much smarter to get off the drugs and make sure you're getting enough essential fatty acids, like EPA.
All right, let's get Bill's response. How
well, certainly, you know, your caller here is right on, and of course he understands. We're just trying to educate the listeners that aren't up to speed yet. And of course, they did a wonderful study at Harvard just using the fish oils or your flaxseed oil if you'd like it. And of course, it was as good as any of the steroid anti-inflammatory drugs, so without the side effects and so on. So here's some of the wonderful ways you can do this. You can reduce inflammation. By the way, SAMe, it's a little thing you may not understand how it works, but SAMe, S-A-M, little E, you'll see it in health food stores and drug stores. And it's a wonderful, almost harmless anti-inflammatory agent. You need to take about 1,000 milligrams. It's a little costly, but not as costly as Vioxx and Celebrex. And it's almost without side effects, and it works wonders for pain, SAMe. So
does it give you gastric ulcer? Because actually,
no gastric ulcers. There's almost no known side effect to it. So, and by the way, this has been in the literature for quite some time, so it's been safe. They did a recent study and showed it was equal to ibuprofen in reducing pain. And so, but it comes without the side effects. This is the whole thing.
And literally thousands, tens of thousands of people die every year from the side effects of ibuprofen and Aleve. And certainly in many respects, they're far safer than the COX-2 inhibitors like Vioxx and Celebrex. But, you know, why not do something that is not going to give you any problems at all? Hey, John, anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, yeah, according to Dr. Barry Sears, Ph.D., to whom I'm indebted for many of these insights, the very best predictor of serious disease, cancer, heart disease, etc., is your EPA to AA ratio. Of course, that's going to be a very personal thing, and it's only a snapshot. It's a bloodshot in time. But the, as Bill said, the best way to raise your EPA ratio is to eat fish oil and flax. And you got to be patient with these things because they don't have the slam-bang effect of drugs, but they're better on the system, and it's a gentle effect.
Thanks so much, John. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that was John calling from Post Falls. Any comment at all on that, Bill?
Well, we need to give him some time on the air for his own show, I tell you. See, we all need to get educated and start our own radio shows. Let's just all get up to speed and learn about this. And, of course, the Eskimos proved this in the 1930s and again in the 1970s. They were eating 13,000 milligrams of this fish oil a day and were virtually free of almost every Western disease that we know, heart and artery disease. Diabetes and so on was almost non-existent. So, you know, and we worry we're going to overdose on this stuff? Come on. You know, I mean, it took all these years since the 1930s for the FDA just in the last few weeks to finally prove a conditional claim for health for omega-3 fatty acids from fish and flax oil. So, you know, they're really behind the times. This is terrible what's going on in our country. We could be living a lot longer and healthier. I don't know how much longer the public is going to remain in the dark on this. And, of course, it affects everyone, so there's only so long you can go, and then people are going to break ranks, as Dr. David Graham did. Some of the news media will break ranks and others because they know about this. It's affecting them and their families. It has to all unravel, and I'm telling you, there is a closet that's just being cracked open. How much more are we going to find out inside the FDA? Where's the investigation? Where is the FBI? Where is the Inspector General of the United States? Because there is a scandal bigger than we can dream.
All right, let's go to Rodney, who's calling us from Texas. Where about in Texas, Rodney?
Capital City, sir.
Capital City? What are you close to? Close to Austin or Houston or what?
I am right in Austin.
Okay, fine. Well, go ahead.
Well, first of all, thank you, Dr. Stan, for taking my call. And Mr. Sardi, I agree with everything you're saying. And it's not just scandalous. I mean, from what I understand, people have been killed from the FDA helping to cover up, you know, these terrible medications or drugs that were allowed to get on the market. So I think not only should an investigation be started, but you know, some people should be prosecuted and sent to jail. I mean, I've heard of individuals who went to jail because they were prohibited by the FDA from using certain types of herbs. So now the shoe is on the other foot, and I agree with you, Mr. Sardi. And I'm a little bit skeptical because I read in the newspaper that an independent commission was supposed to take charge of this situation, but I'm skeptical because I think that if the FDA and their people are allowed to handpick these people on this independent commission, it'll turn out to be just another whitewasher like the 9/11 commission. And I also would like for you to speak about Longevinex and also vitamin C. I'm a big proponent of vitamin C, so could you speak to those two herbs?
Well, okay, well, supplements. Thanks so much for calling, and let's get a little something in there from about Longevinex.
Well, certainly I want to start with vitamin C, and everybody should know tremendous developments in the world of vitamin C. Go to my website, you'll see some tremendous revelations there about how we could have been preventing heart attacks and all these things. Linus Pauling was right all along. New books coming out telling us all this, and of course it's really tremendous to learn about. And of course now we're in the middle of trying to scratch our heads because we're living with a couple of big studies which we think are a little bit specious and questionable, and that was the big study saying that vitamin E slightly, by 1 in 1,000 people, slightly increased the mortality rates when high doses of vitamin E were taken. Now, I don't believe that study is accurate, but I do believe that what we're learning is that vitamin E does not increase the human lifespan. It's a quality of life. It's not a quantity of life vitamin. It does help us prevent Alzheimer's disease, breast cancer, prostate cancer. It goes where the fatty tissues are and protects them. And so that's where the fatty tissues are. The question is, we all took vitamin E for healthier blood vessels, cholesterol, and so on. It's the vitamin C that really works in high doses there. You need to take it through the day. You can learn some of these lessons on my website. But the biggest thing we are learning is that if vitamin E doesn't help us live longer, and, of course, what we've learned now is that our own diets don't. The National Cancer Institute says that, you know, 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day don't help us reduce the mortality rates. In fact, they've now gone to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables without any evidence to back up that works. And, of course, we now understand that the cholesterol-lowering drugs don't help you live any longer. As a total, cholesterol, if you control it throughout life, you'll only live 6 months longer. If you exercise every day, you'll only live 1.5 years longer. If you're a vegetarian diet from age 35 on, you'll live 4 to 7 years longer. And if you're a female, you don't have the iron overload that males have, you're going to live about 5 to 8 years longer. But the reason why this pill, this red wine pill called Longevinix, comes to everyone's attention is that it mimics calorie restriction. That is, if you were to just eat about one meal a day, about 1,200 calories to 1,700 calories, you would have the tremendous benefit of adding about 30 to 50 years of healthy living to your life. It turns out that this benefit of calorie restriction can be mimicked. That is, you don't have to deprive yourself of food. This was a wonderful discovery at Harvard Medical School last summer. A red wine molecule was found to mimic all this. This is the French paradox. The French don't eat healthy, and yet they don't pay the price for it. They have more 100-year-olds per 1,000 people in the population than any other country in the world. How could they do that with all the cream sauces and all the rich calories? It's in the red wine that they drink. I'm not suggesting you drink red wine. I am suggesting that you check out a new red wine pill, no alcohol, no calories, no sulfite preservatives. It's called Longevinix. At the calorie restriction meeting, I had a scientific session in South Carolina last week showing that the health effects, the beneficial effects of calorie restriction can be transferred to human beings through a red wine pill called Longevinix. They're on the way to winning the Nobel Prize. Of course, neither Longevinix, which I'm commercially involved with, or myself have anything to do with this. It's all an independent study showing that for the first time that a pill can possibly transfer these benefits, these health benefits in red wine without the alcohol to humans. It's now all possible. Humanity is now just for the first time discovering how to live well over 100 years in great health. And, of course, that's going to be eyebrow-raising when the Nobel Prize is announced with this kind of a pill.
Well, I think what's really so fascinating about Longevinix is here you're dealing with a genetic switch, and the molecules in resveratrol actually throw that switch, which regulates some 260 other genetic functions, and suddenly you're beginning to change the whole genetic function of the body. And this is truly an amazing phenomenon. It's only been caught glimpses of this because the French and the Italians, who drink a lot of red wine, seem to live so much longer, but they've actually done studies on this, haven't they, as far as all sorts of physiological functions are concerned?
Well, and of course I wrote a book about it called The Anti-Aging Pill. You can go to my website to find out about it, but we did a lot of research here. The oldest human being in modern times, Jean Calment of France, lived 122 years, and of course she was a red wine drinker. Antonio Todd, the oldest living man, lived 115 years on the Isle of Sardinia, drank 3 glasses of red wine a day. The Queen Mother of England lived to age 100, outlived one of her daughters by 30 years. Comes out in the London Times. They admit she was a little tipsy and loved about 5 glasses of red wine a day. You see, even Ben Franklin once said that, you know, he wanted to know why the winos outlived their doctors. The tremendous revelation and discovery here, as much as I hate to admit it, I'm not a person who drinks too much wine in my lifetime, but I can tell you that if you exercise, eat a great diet, take vitamins every day, you will not, on odds, live as long as the guy who does none of those things and finds these red wine molecules. Now, that's how powerful they are. They reverse even a bad diet. So it is tremendous what this discovery is. And, of course, as the people in the Calorie Restriction Society, they were people that were restricting their calories. They're now finding this red wine pill works better than, of course, their sparse calorie diet. So this is a tremendous piece of history being made in medicine as we understand it. Mankind can make a big jump, live for many years without medicines, by the way. These people that live super long in France and Sardinia and elsewhere, they weren't exercising or taking medicines, or they were just drinking their red wine, though I have to say the lady in France also had a little bit of chocolate every day. Again, it's in the same class of molecules called polyphenols, like we find in red wine. So these are it's just a tremendous study, a tremendous learning curve for all of us as we understand how we can improve our health. But more than that, we're trying to find out what would help us make us live a lot longer in good health. We're only taking baby steps with our vitamin C and our other things that we're doing and vegetarian diets. But we could take a giant leap if we could just learn how to capture this mechanism, the red wine molecules triggering what is called the sirtuin-1 gene. It upregulates enzymes that repairs the DNA in your body. It's DNA breakdown, the genetic material that's involved in virtually every disease. So this is how dramatic and wonderful this is. If you want to find out about it, 866-405-4000, 866-405-4000, or go to the website longevinex.com, LONGEVINEX, and of course you can find out about the whole story there. And every red wine pill won't do what Longevinex does. You can read the whole story, or we'll send you the information. But we certainly want to get it in your hand and help you understand. We need to get away from these problematic prescription drugs. We need to find out how to live in God's plan and great health and doing God's work for all the time that He's given us. And, of course, it's now possible. We're even uncovering the reasons why the patriarchs in the Bible lived so long for many hundreds of years. It's now becoming clear to us.
Well, I think it's significant that they've actually checked a lot of these so-called red wine pills, resveratrol pills back at Harvard, and none of them are really pharmacologically active, are they, other than Longevinex, because it is actually packed in a nitrogen atmosphere?
That's right. This was tested and published in Science magazine, so it's all becoming clear now. Our audience just needs to catch up with the story.
All right, fine. And so I want to thank you very much for being with us, Bill. It's always a pleasure. And again, the website to go to is askbillsardi.com, askbillsardi.com. A tremendous amount of excellent information there. We recommend it to you. God bless you, Bill. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed the program with Bill Sardi. Suddenly, we find the lines are lighting up, but we're out of time. We'll have Bill on again sometime soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the time we just want to talk a little bit about the things that we've been discussing this evening, and that, of course, is the disastrous effects of the Federal Drug Administration. You know, many years ago, I had Dr. Martin as a guest on my program. We still have the interviews with him, and we went into the background of his time working at the Federal Drug Administration, testing vaccines. And he found that in the Sabin vaccine, which at that time was being grown in the culture of the kidney of green monkeys. Now, originally it was put out in the kidneys of rhesus monkeys, and that's where they got the simian virus 40. That was the cancer-producing virus that contaminated millions of Americans. We carry a book called The Virus and the Vaccine. You can get that through Radio Liberty. It's also covering the book actually put out by the National Institute of Health. And, of course, that book is called The Health Century. It was sponsored by the National Institute of Health and written by Edward Shorter, The Health Century, and it basically tells the story of how they contaminated the entire American public with a cancer-producing virus, which was in the polio vaccine that was made in the cultures of the rhesus monkey. But then, of course, they changed over to the green monkey, so because they didn't have the SV40. But what they did have was all sorts of cytomegalic viruses. So when they stopped contaminating us with the with the cancer-producing virus, we got all of the cytomegalic viruses, which produce all sorts of bizarre diseases in people, certainly not as dangerous as the SV40 virus, but certainly a dangerous thing. I mean, why would they want to give the American people and people throughout the world monkey viruses? I mean, ordinarily you can't get them into people. They don't infect people. But we got them in the vaccine. And so when Dr. Martin complained to his superior there at the FDA about what was happening, he was told there was nothing to worry about. And then very shortly thereafter, that official left his job with the FDA and went to work for the very company that was making the polio vaccine. This is how the system works. This was back in the 1970s. It's still going on today. And until the American people become incensed and realize that you can't trust your health to any government official, and of course the drug companies are simply buying the support of the medical magazines, or they're publishing their doctored and altered articles that are lying to the physicians. Unfortunately, you can't believe what your physician is telling you because he's relying upon what he reads in the journals, what he hears at the meetings, which are all sponsored in large part by the drug companies. And that's why the journals don't come out and tell you the truth, because they're all on the take as well. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I think we have a call here from Mike from Michigan. If you want to screen him through, otherwise he can hang on till the next hour. Or anyway, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're listening to us out across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious thought to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We don't have any major companies that are behind us. We have a few people we carry their advertisements for because we think that they are worthwhile products. And on the other hand, we are primarily listener-supported. And we're on the air 5 hours a day bringing you the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Sam Hannity or, well, not getting from Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. They're both leaving, but I'm sure that the people who replace them will be exactly the same way, the finest commentators that money could buy. People who will do exactly what they're told if they want to continue getting their six-figure salaries, and that's the big problem, is that unfortunately neither the people on the right nor the left are really telling the American people the truth about what's going on. And that's our job, is to get the stories, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. So if you'd like, of course, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand the very essence of what's going on in the world, you need to read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, which tells you the secret that has been passed down for almost 5,000 years through the secret societies, never recorded because, of course, it could cost people their lives. And so, but we'll tell you the secret. If you read it through, it's a very easy-to-read book. You can read it through in an evening, but it'll change your life forever. And you'll begin to understand the true essence of the story. You'll understand why we're at war in Iraq, the reason for all the great wars of the last century. And I will tell you, they were simply to kill off as many people, to create as much horror as possible, because the ultimate goal of everything going on today is a new world order, a new world religion. It all has to do with globalism and creating a world government under the control of a leading, a ruling corporate and financial elite who will pay their homage to the prince of this world, who indeed is Satan. So we hope that you will want to get my book. I hope that many of you will want to get their videos we carry, either the 3 or the 4 or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You'll see the most amazing footage there of Marilyn Manson and Ozzy Osbourne talking about Mr. Crowley. Who was Mr. Crowley? He was a Satanist. He was the man who lived during the first half of the 20th century. Alfred Kinsey was one of his disciples. Harry Hay was his disciple. Timothy Leary was a disciple of Aleister Crowley. You need to understand that the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, I will promise you, if you watch that video, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. And then, of course, we ask you to give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 if you're interested in that. We have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley, a 4-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance. And we're not talking about the X-Files. We're talking about real satanic organizations and victims of satanic ritual abuse, some of them from satanic organizations, some of them from the CIA, which works with these satanic organizations. We have a wonderful video with Lou Gossett Jr. Now, it's admittedly a fictionalized account of how the government works with the supernatural. It's called Deceived. And if you want a fascinating evening, the video Deceived with Lou Gossett Jr., a lineup of great actors, a wonderful entertainment, but the message is there of what happens, of course, to people who begin dabbling in the dark side, and this is going on at the highest levels of our government today. So understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow evening, may the Lord be with you. Good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince us that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us from Arizona, a good friend, Dr. Judith Reisman. And, of course, there is a new movie out. It's on Alfred Kinsey, telling you what a great guy that he was. And the truth of the matter is this man was a pedophile. He worked with pedophiles. He was a masochist. He was a homosexual. He was really one of the most depraved individuals of all time. His work was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation. They've done everything they could to prevent the public from understanding that, because the purpose of Alfred Kinsey was to destroy the moral fabric of our society. And yet he is lauded and applauded by the academic community today, and by the great tax-exempt foundations, and by the media, and now by Hollywood, and of course recently, why they had a pre-release showing of the film on Alfred Kinsey. And our friend this evening, Dr. Judith Reisman, was there, along with our good friend Ted Baer from Movie Review. And, of course, about 20 minutes into the film. Well, what happened, Judith? What actually happened 20 minutes into the film?
Well, the studio went blank. Black went to black. Everything stopped. And the only people in the audience were Ted and myself, and one other gentleman who was not known really by Fox Searchlight. And the projectionist Josh walked in the door, and he said, "I'm really sorry." He said, "I got a call from up above, from Fox Searchlight. They told me to turn off the film and to say that the film was damaged." He said, "I won't do that because the film is not damaged." And he said, "I don't know why they had me turn it off, but I have to." And so Ted Baer got on the phone. He's the one who had arranged this screening with, and by the way, they had these screenings, stand going on all over the country. I mean, everywhere you went, everywhere you looked, Condon or Liam Neeson or Laura Linney was attending some kind of a screening, pre-screening. For this film to get it popularized amongst the elite, where the elite meet to eat. And so Ted called, and they told him that the film was damaged, and it, of course, was not damaged. And Josh said, he said, "The film is not damaged." He said, "I've never seen anything like this happen before." And the other projectionist said, "I've been here 40 years. I've never seen anything like this happen."
Doesn't it make you feel all warm and good to know that you're that important?
Well, that's what Ted said. He said, as soon as he gave my name, he could hear the wheels turning, that I was going to be attending the screening. And they informed him just before, that the film was damaged. And anyway, that was the first, and we did it again. I flew from Arizona again. He set it up a second time, and they shut it down before I got a chance to see it.
In other words, anything to keep Judith Reisman from seeing a film should be able to see at the local theaters, for a buck or two. But you see, that's because Judith Reisman is the major biographer of this perverse man, really a disreputable individual, who misused science, who lied, who took statistics and twisted them to come up with an agenda. His purpose, to destroy the moral fabric of our society, because truly Alfred Kinsey was a Crowleyite, as with so many of the others. We'll be back in just a moment with Judith Reisman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Judith Reisman, and she really has chronicled Kinsey. She's written a number of books about him, but her latest one, and the one that we carry, is called The Kinsey Crime and Consequences. So why don't you give our listeners your view of this man, this great hero of academia, this great scientific researcher, this man, the pioneer in sexology?
Well, Kinsey's the one who broke the back of American moral belief system, with, of course, massive economic support from the Rockefeller Foundation and then the Ford Foundation and a lot of others. But he kicked off what they call the sexual revolution, but it really wasn't. It was really just a return to pansexual, back to the dark. Hugh Hefner read Kinsey and decided he would produce a magazine because he was going to be the, as he called it, Kinsey's pamphleteer. Harry Hay, Red Kinsey, and decided to start the homosexual movement based upon conduct and not, I mean, based upon a minority status rather than conduct. Kinsey had a...
For our listeners, of course, that was the gay liberation movement. Harry Hay was a homosexual, he was a communist, he left his wife and children, and of course, with the full permission of the Communist Party, organized the gay liberation movement. First the Mattachine Society, the gay liberation movement, an organizer of the Man-Boy Love Association, NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association. But, of course, he was a homosexual, not by necessity, by choice. He decided to leave his wife and his children and take on his male lover. But his real purpose, of course, was to push this depraved lifestyle.
Well, Harry Hay, remember, too, was an early sex abuse victim. I mean, he was sexually abused, like so many homosexual guys and women. You know, by a man. So, you know, his choice was something that relates to the abuse, I'm sure. But that doesn't excuse, of course, you know, what he did later.
And not only that, but pushing the North American Man-Boy Love Association.
Yeah, all of the above.
Right, and their slogan was sex before eight, before it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, that was Rene Gayon Society. That's
right.
Okay. But the North American Man-Boy Love Association had on its website a whole little peon to Kinsey, and, of course, they say that, you know, boy lovers should know Kinsey's work and hold it dear because, you know, it stands for what we fight for today. And these films, I mean, it isn't just this film, Stan. The Kinsey film is coming out. It's all over the place. Fox Searchlight. Not everywhere, actually. It's not in Arizona. But also the American Experience is producing a big piece on Kinsey, another bio. That should be out in a couple of months. And so did A&E, Arts and Entertainment. They just produced theirs and you know, released it. And
hold that thought. Well, our guest this evening is Dr. Judith Reisman, and we're talking about the new film that's coming out. A&E is putting out a film. They're trying to glorify Kinsey. Why? Because one woman has been exposing him for the corrupt pervert that he was. And, of course, the big problem with Kinsey is he set out intentionally to change the sexual mores of our society. He couldn't have done it without massive funding from the Rockefeller Foundation and the other great tax-exempt foundations that were part of this movement to destroy the Christian morality of this once great nation. They've done a great job, and there's very, very few people are out there speaking on the other side, because anybody who does will be attacked and vilified and demonized. But Dr. Reisman knows no fear, and she started out with Captain Kangaroo as a writer for Captain Kangaroo. Today, she is one of the few people out who has the courage to come out and tell the truth about Alfred Kinsey. There's a wonderful video that was made by BBC going into, of course, Kinsey and his pedophiles would never be allowed to be shown on television in America.
No. Yeah,
you want to tell a little bit about that story? That was an amazing story.
Yeah, it is.
How
it
they're
is
able to
amazing.
Black that out all across America.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, and it's a heartbreaking story in terms of its the censorship that they, you know, that we deal with in this, in our country today. I don't want to forget to make it really clear that, you know, I mean, John F. Kennedy hasn't gotten as much celluloid in 1 year as Kinsey has. I mean, this is the poster boy for everything that we're concerned about. If it's gay marriage, or it's the hate crime laws, or it's sex education in the school, giving the children condoms and flavored thingamajigs to put on cucumbers, or whatever it is, the whole, we're talking about internal terrorism, which is certainly as dangerous and destructive as external terrorism ever was.
I call it the ultimate in child abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what Kinsey stands for, and the film, of course, is propaganda, and it's to glorify him and the Kinsey Institute, which, remember, comes up for major funding again in a couple of months. So it's a very serious issue. But
now, will they be funded by our government?
Oh, absolutely.
This is what our Christian administration. It's going to be interesting to see if our Christian administration will renew the funding for this depraved center.
Yeah, I mean, they've already gotten well over $5 million. and they're up for more. And so, yeah, I would be very interested in what our legislature decides to do. I would imagine that a hearing would certainly be in order at this point. But, yeah, the York, and they ought to play the Yorkshire television production at that hearing, which is the British television production, which was called Kinsey's Pedophiles. And in that production, which was a secular documentary produced by a liberal, left liberal fellow, who Tim Tate, who cares about children, and who flew to Germany and found a Nazi with whom Kinsey was collaborating, a Nazi pedophile who had been arrested for rape of all sorts of children and for possible murder of a little girl that he'd been sexually abusing.
And he was in constant contact with Kinsey, and
yes,
they have all sorts of correspondence back
and
forth.
And Kinsey had sent him, he was very sweet to him, he sent him books about child sexuality. We don't know what the books, which books he sent him, but I can assure you it wasn't anything to warn him that that he should not do what he's doing. As a matter of fact, he wrote to him and warned him to watch out, you know, to be careful when he was raping these children so that the authorities wouldn't catch him. That Von Balíček, the connection between Kinsey and Von Balíček was the headline in every major German newspaper.
And not a word of it in the American newspapers.
No, it was completely blacked out. And that was at a time, Stan, when Kinsey was famous for being the most famous man in America. That was 1955, just before the year before he died. And every newspaper had the story, you know, the connection between Kinsey and Von Balíček, who was called the worst pedophile that that Germany had seen since World War II.
And, of course, there was a story in Europe because of Kinsey's close relationship to this man.
Oh, absolutely. It was a massive story. And the judge, when he came up for his conviction, and he was convicted of all these horrible crimes, the judge said, I understand that you did all this for Kinsey. He said, Kinsey should have reported you to the authorities. He said, and instead I get the impression that you did it for Kinsey. And Von Balíček responded, Kinsey himself asked me to do this, yes.
Now, somebody just called in, wanted to know if that BBC video is in any way available here in the United States. Can it be bought privately, or has it been totally censored here?
Well, you go on my website, and I don't sell it, but for donations, I try to help people for educational purposes to see it, yeah.
All right, fine, and let's
you
get
have my website?
Let's take the website out there.
Oh, that's DR for Dr. Judith, as in Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H, and the Reisman, R-E-I-S, as in Samuel, M-A-N, Reisman, .org.
That's DR Judith Reisman, Dr. Judith Reisman.org.
Yes.
www.drjudithreisman.org. If you didn't get that, why, you can always call our producer, and she has it written down. Well, let's go to Tony, who's calling in from Santa Cruz. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I wanted to know if there was going to be any sort of handouts or protests around theaters or anything prior to the movie coming out.
I think maybe you ought to go ahead and organize something like that. And if you haven't read the book, Kinsey, Crime and Consequences, or heard our four-tape set, which includes, of course, interviews with Dr. Judith Reisman and Colonel Ray, and then, of course, James Jones, who is the liberal biographer of Kinsey. And I think, even if I do say so, I think I did a great job in interviewing him.
I think you did, too.
And, of course, he was totally in support of everything Kinsey did until just about the end of the program. And I said, well, now, how do you feel about his support of pedophilia?
Mm-hmm.
And here's this long hesitation on the part of James Jones,
who's
a brilliant
silence.
Liberal historian. And finally he said, well, I really couldn't approve of that.
Yeah. But Jones didn't have the smarts to be able to extend the fact that this was a psychopathic, pedophile-promoting, sadomasochistic, pornography-obsessed, sexually harassing, adulterous individual who might affect his scientific credibility and ability to do his research.
And those are the good things you can say.
No, that's what. Yeah, those are the good things that we know. That's right on the surface. But there are groups. Let me tell you that there are groups that are very active now, and there are websites all over. I would urge you to go to Focus on the Family and Concerned Women for America, and they have material on there to just print off and hand out at the theaters and that sort of thing. And I would try to, you know, tell people to contact whoever it is and see what they're doing. I know the Catholic Church has a piece out, not the church, but I mean one of the publishers, Catholic publishers, has put out a very good little short little a booklet about Kinsey. That's on my website somewhere, so you can try and find that as well.
So, Tony, do you have access to a computer?
Yes.
Well, why don't you get up on Judith's website and pull down that information, and hey, if you want to organize a protest, you can come on our station, and we'll be glad to give you a few minutes to just say how to get in touch with you. How's that?
Thank you. That'll be great.
God bless.
What else I wanted to ask was, how was his credibility built when he first came up, before he came on the scene, popularity? How was that developed or created, in a sense?
Well, that was created by the Rockefeller Foundation and by Indiana University. I mean, it was easy credibility. He was a Harvard grad, and so that gave him all kinds of kudos, and he collected little bugs that made him objective. And he was portrayed as a Republican. He always wore a tie and had his hair cropped and whatnot. And he was portrayed as a happily married man, very straight-laced kind of thing. So it was all a lie. Here's a man who allegedly has gotten every American to tell the truth about his and her sex life, and who lied, and all of his team lied completely and absolutely all the time about their own sex lives. And it looks as though he died of a venereal disease, a very painful one, by the way, called orchitis. You know about that, Stan, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and, I have to look it up in the medical dictionaries, but what I end up finding out is that you're warned to sort of abandon your multiple partners and stop, you know, engaging in homosexual sodomy if you want to avoid orchitis. So...
Anyway, he was a very, very depraved individual, but he always had a good media. Why? Because the media works in conjunction with the great tax exempt foundations and some of our great corporations, and their goal is the destruction of the Judeo-Christian morality of America. It's really an attack on religion.
Well, I think it's a very, it's understandable. There's a lot of profit in people who are depraved and who are miserable. I mean, those little blue pills, they call it Viagra, those things are very profitable. Abortion is profitable. All of the contraception involved is profitable. All of the therapy you need when you're knocking around with various people becomes extremely profitable for the therapy profession. Sex education in the classroom is extremely profitable. Pornography is massively profitable. So you need a profit for all that profitability, and Kinsey's a profit.
Okay, anything else, Tony? I guess we lost Tony.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
We'll be back here in just a moment to continue our conversation with Dr. Judith Reisman, who will be with us for about another 10 minutes. So we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 50 years after Kinsey died, they're trying to bring him back. Of course, they want you to think he was a wonderful scientist. He wasn't a scientist at all. If you read the information about him, he distorted science. He doctored the figures. What's that old axiom? Figures don't lie, but liars figure, and that's what he did. He had an agenda, and he succeeded. But he's only succeeded because of the silence of the church. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Reisman. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Judith Reisman. We're talking about Alfred Kinsey. We're talking about the great cover-up. We talked about the BBC documentary that was shown in England. It was shown elsewhere in the world, but not allowed to be shown in America. Why? Because you are to believe what the people want you to believe. And if you don't think there's censorship in this country, why, you're sadly mistaken. Just as they censored Stephen Emerson's video about the jihad in America back in 1994, they would not allow it to be shown because they didn't want us to know about the organized Islamic terrorist movement here in the United States, which the government obviously knew about. They're the ones, of course, who censored what was going on. So working in conjunction with the media, why somebody is censored. answered the truth about Alfred Kinsey. So, you know, Judith, of course, I love that story about when you were on with Donahue. I've seen that video clip, and I think everybody, because Donahue, you remember, he was, of course, the television host, and, of course, he was totally in sympathy with everything that was depraved and bad. But he made one mistake. He invited Dr. Reisman to come onto his program. Tell that wonderful story.
Well, he didn't know what a street fighter I was. You know? I mean, he didn't realize that, you know, Donahue invited me to be on the program. The producer on his show, I had done another program with that producer, and the poor producer convinced him, I think, to do it. And I did not know it at the time, but the Kinsey Institute had been writing to him and telling him they were threatening him that he should not have me on the program. But he didn't pay attention, because what he planned to do is to expose me as a fool and to prove that everything that I was saying about Kinsey was false, and to win his audience over to him as he usually did. However, in the process of appearing on his program, since he refused to put up the charts and the graphs, the tables, table 34, which shows 26 orgasms in 24 hours for a little four-year-old child and a five-month-old baby and orgasms and all that sort of thing. And he refused to put that up, and so I, on open mic, started to demand that he do it. You know, what are you afraid of?
And he had promised you he would do that.
He had promised, absolutely, right. Yes. And so he finally put one of the charts up, table 34. He said, well, all right, and he put this thing up, and he lost it at that point. Everybody in the audience was outraged. And at that point, I said, now, who is defending this? Are you defending this, Phil? What American would defend the abuse of a child 24 hours around the clock to come up with some sort of what he calls scientific data about the child's orgasms? This is a pedophile raping this child. And Donahue turned to Clarence Tripp, who was there speaking for the Kinsey Institute at the time, a psychologist, so to speak. And Tripp said, and he said, well, what do you say, you know, Clarence? Well, I mean, you know, oh, you know, what are you saying about what she's claimed here? And Clarence Tripp said, well, yes, Kinsey would use pedophiles to get these data, but he would only have very responsible pedophiles who use stopwatches to record their thing, you know.
And I'm sure that even the audience, Donahue's audience, could see what was going on.
Oh, I've
seen the footage of Donahue. You never saw Donahue looking so sick, because he'd never run into anybody quite like Judith Reisman, who, of course, was not going to be silenced. I mean, he was used to having nice people like James Dobson on. He could stomp all over. Jim Dobson's a wonderful guy. But not in that sort of a venue. But Judith Reisman, of course, was able to hold her own beautifully. And you ever have a chance to see that, the footage, you really need to. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Judith Reisman, author of Kinsey, Crime and Consequences, a must-reading book for anybody out there. We do carry that book. We think it's important. And, of course, we have a four-tape set on Kinsey. But, of course, you want to go to Judith Reisman's website. That's Judith Reisman, reisman.org. And, of course, you'll be able to get all of this. She's got all sorts of information available. Tell us about a little bit about what people can get off your website.
Oh, gracious, I don't even know anymore. But go to the White Pages. We have some outstanding stuff on some of the fraudulent science that has been the basis of major changes in our laws and public policies. Dr. Linda Jeffrey wrote the paper that I was the scientific advisor for ALEC, for the American Legislative Exchange Council, on Kinsey's fraudulent data and the way those data have been used in the states all across the country to change our laws, to gut all the protective laws that had been reliably protecting women and children from rape and so forth. I mean, we're looking at a 418% increase in just forcible rape in this country from 1960 to 1999. We're looking at 58,200 children who were kidnapped in 1999 off the streets by non-family members. and who returned home for the most part sexually abused. So we are in a what people could call a holocaust against our women and our children.
And they even use this to use Kinsey's work to change the rape laws to diminish the punishment, saying, well, rape isn't such a bad thing after all. And he's destroyed the very fabric of our society. We used to be able to have some laws maintaining morality, at least at the state and local level. Kinsey wanted to destroy all of that, and his work, his phony science was used by legislative members all across the country to change the laws that have led us to the sad state that we are in today.
Absolutely. In 1948, half the states in the Union could provide the death penalty for rape, statutory rape as well. And at this point, you know, if somebody even gets convicted, that's a shock. And then they serve a portion of the time and they're out on the streets doing the same thing again. We are in a terrible situation, and largely because we had a legislature and judges who relied on what they thought was the latest in scientific data, and who couldn't believe that an Indiana University professor could really cook his data totally to make a whole different world, and that is indeed the world that we've given to our children to inherit, and we ought to be ashamed.
Well, I think I agree with you totally. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call, our guest is Dr. Judith Reisman, who's been working, how long have you been at this? At least 20 years, isn't it, Judith?
Well, actually, I began to deal with the Kinsey issue in 1976 when I was in Wales at a British Psychological Association conference on love and attraction, and met up with the academic pedophile movement at that time, and that's how I got involved.
So it's really been almost 28 years then.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long time. I think I probably met you 10 or 15 years ago at one of those Human Life International meetings.
Yeah, I remember that.
Unfortunately, that was such a great organization that was infiltrated and destroyed very effectively. It's amazing how it's like termites getting into a house. Well, they get into organizations that are doing a good job of reaching people, educating them, and they undermine those organizations and destroy them. And that's what they did with Human Life International, which I don't even know if it's still existing in the form it was before. But anyway, this is we're up against people who are very desperate to conceal the truth from the American people, to conceal it certainly from our young people who are being misled, and so many of them are being led into terrible, terrible unhappiness. And there's that old definition of the difference between love and herpes, and of course the difference is that herpes is with you forever.
No, and, I never heard that.
Well, anyway, we've got Lance calling from Norway. Hi, Lance. How are you doing?
Life. Hello.
Oh, Leif. Okay, Leif. Yes. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you. It's early morning here.
All right. Well, it's good to hear from you again. Did you have a comment for Dr. Reisman?
A question also.
Okay, go ahead.
There has been writings in the local newspaper in the city I live in, Bergen, in Norway, about abuse in different child homes or orphanages some years ago, some decades ago, and about 251 applications for economical money support. I don't know what you call it.
You mean for compensation for what happened?
Compensation, yes.
All right, fine. Sort of like they're trying to get compensation for the Catholic priest abuse of people within their parishes. We're going to be back. Hang on there, Leif. And we'll, of course, Judith can't be with us much longer, but I'll ask you to stay on to answer your question. So just hang on there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Leif calling from Bergen in Norway. Go ahead. What did you have a question there?
The question is there any connections between the lodges and this Kinsey?
Yeah, I always wonder about that. We did not know that there was a connection between von Balyuchek, you know, in Germany until the investigation took place and we located him, or the British located him. And it's always possible that there's a connection between Kinsey and these abuses in Canada, as well during World War II, as well as in Norway. That is one reason that I believe we must have a congressional investigation finally to look into this whole thing, excuse me, to look into the Kinsey abuses and to find out where these children really came from and what kinds of connections there are between these kinds of cases and Dr. Alfred Kinsey's exploitation. Because yes, he was getting material from foreign countries consistently, and this is very possible.
And so basically Kinsey was working with pedophiles all throughout the world to collect data.
Absolutely, he certainly was. We know that he had people in Italy, we know that he had people in Germany, we know that he had people in some of the Arab countries, and it is the most outrageous violation of American science in children in our history. And we need, you know, I'm looking to try to get President Bush to issue an apology to the victims, to the Kinsey Institute victims, the children, in the same way that Clinton issued an apology to the radiation victims and the Tuskegee victims, and Ford issued an apology to the LSD victims. I think that would go a long way to bringing some of this information out of the closet.
Okay, anything else, Leif?
No, that's all.
All right, but it's a tragic thing, but it just shows the extent of the evil that permeates not only our society, but the rest of the world today.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you. Thanks so much for calling, Leif. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, bye. Well, we're going to have to let Judith go. I promised to let her go after 30 minutes, and she's been good enough to be with us. She's in the middle of another book. What's the next book going to be about?
This is called Kinsey's Attic, How One Man's Sexual Pathology Changed the World.
And, of course, well, we won't let you tell us what's in the attic. I've got a pretty good idea what is in the attic. But we'll look forward to, when that book is completed, to having you back as a guest.
Thank
here
you.
Again.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank you, Judith. And thank you so much for being with us and taking off from finishing up your manuscript to be with us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Judith Reisman. So we're going to have open lines the rest of this evening. And so you can give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening, Dr. Judith Reisman. She's in the middle of a new manuscript, a new book she's writing called Kinsey's Attic, and I know it went on in the attic, but I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to wait until we have Judith back again and we have the book in hand. But we do carry her other book, Kinsey, Crime and Consequences. We do have a wonderful four-tape set of interviews with Judith Reisman, Colonel Ron Ray, who's worked very closely with her, and of course you really would want to go to Colonel Ray's website as well. That's firstprinciples.org, I think it is, firstprinciples.org. He has a lot of information, carries a lot of this information as well. And then, of course, we have an interview with James Jones, who is a very sympathetic biographer of Kinsey. And he didn't, of course, see anything wrong with his distortion of the scientific evidence. He didn't see anything wrong with the fact he was a homosexual and a masochist, and of course he was having his wife sleep with other people while he was sleeping with their the most depraved sort of thing. Well, anyway, it's a fascinating interview. But there are people who have a different worldview than you and I. But I like James Jones. I've interviewed him on other subjects, and I think he's an excellent historian. The only thing is, overall, he thought that Kinsey had contributed greatly to our society by destroying the outmoded Victorian laws we had. And I will say that we had a lot less sexual disease, a lot less divorce, a lot less children living in one-family homes, a lot less broken children when we had Victorian standards than we have today. Half of our marriages end in divorce. Sexual disease is certainly rampant, and we're talking about human papillomavirus, we're talking about chlamydia, we're talking about herpes, as well, of course, as syphilis and gonorrhea, and lymphopathyvinarium and lymphogranulovinarium, and hepatitis B, and AIDS, and all of these other things, that these were not problems when I went to medical school. They were very, very minor problems. There were only a couple of sexually transmitted diseases then, and we can thank Kinsey for promoting promiscuity, and that was his goal. That was his objective, because, if you read Judith Reisman's book, there's a wonderful picture there of Kinsey standing in a shrine to Aleister Crowley. And the man standing next to him was the co-founder of the Church of Satan. And they're both there in the shrine to Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. And Aleister Crowley was an open and avowed Satanist. He worshipped Satan. In fact, his ideas laid out in the book of the law are basically do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. Do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. And that's what they're teaching our children in schools today. We have taken away the Bible. We've taken away any reliance upon God or God's rules of the Ten Commandments. And we're teaching them, you make up your decisions. You do what you want to do. And how many 14 or 15-year-old children do you think are adult enough and can make mature decisions to know what's right and what's wrong? And we are indoctrinating our youth across America in Crowleyism, in the religion of the prince of this world. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. And we do hope that many of you, if you've not already actually seen have a copy of the book, Kinsey, Crime and Consequences, that you'll want to get that. You want to get our 4-tape set, our interviews on that, because there's nothing really quite like that that gives you the overview of Kinsey if you don't like to read books, or if you like to read books, why you can get both the book and the 4-tape set, but there's information here that you will never hear discussed elsewhere. So it's important you understand that what is happening in our society is not accidental. It's happening on purpose. It's happening as a long-range plan. And Kinsey was simply the vehicle by which the Rockefeller Foundation worked to destroy the moral fabric of our society. Because, you see, the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations were instrumental in all of the things we're talking about. In fact, we carry a book. We've kept the book in print for many years. It's called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And there was a man, basically the book itself is based upon the hearings carried out by the Reese Committee headed by Congressman B. Carroll Reese of Tennessee. And what happened in 1953 when Dwight Eisenhower became president, while the Republicans had control of Congress for a 2-year period. Now, that was the only time between 1954 and 1994 when the Republicans controlled the House of Representatives or the Senate, but they did control the House of Representatives for 2 years. And the congressman then demanded an investigation of the great tax-exempt foundations. And so Congressman B. Carroll Reese was in charge of the investigation, and of course he had Rennie Wormser as his chief counsel, Norman Dodd, who I had an opportunity to interview, and his interview with me is included in our 4-tape set on the secret government. That's the Norman Dodd interview, fascinating interview, and insight into certainly into what the investigating committee found. But Rennie Wormser tells the story of one of the members of the committee. His name was Wayne Hayes, as I remember. He was actually sent by the leaders of Congress to disrupt the hearings because they didn't want anything to come out. And in one 120-minute period, Wayne Hayes interrupted the people they were questioning 180 times. Now, why would he do that? Simply to disrupt the hearings so they could get nothing accomplished. And then he threatened that he would they would cut off all the funding for the committee, and they wouldn't even let them publish a report. And the only way that they would let them even publish a report was if they promised not to say anything at all about the Rockefeller funding of Alfred Kinsey. You see, they didn't want the American people or anybody else to know that the force behind all of the depravity and the effort to change our laws and morality, and really the effort to undermine the moral fabric of our society, was indeed the Rockefeller Foundation. And that is laid out so well in this book. This is why the book, the foundations, their power and influence is so important, and why we've kept it in print all of these years, because you out there need to understand that this was not a communist conspiracy. This was not Alfred Kinsey's doing. It is the people who financed Alfred Kinsey, and the people who financed him were the Rockefeller Foundation. And representatives of the Rockefeller Foundation came down, went over Kinsey's work, and realized it was all fraudulent. And they went back and they told the Rockefeller Foundation, the board, this material is fraudulent. He's taking things completely out of context. He's talking about doing wide surveys to find out about the sexual activities of the human male. And where is he going to find out what normal sexual activity is? Why, he's going into prisons that are filled with homosexuals and saying this is completely normal, and taking histories from these perverse homosexuals. Many of them are sex criminals, and of course they're using that to create what's normal here. And it was Kinsey's contention that homosexuality was normal, and adultery was normal, and bestiality was normal, and pedophilia was normal, and you talk about it, and it was perfectly all right. There was nothing wrong with rape, or there was nothing wrong with pedophilia. I mean, this man, this was something else. But you must understand, Kinsey was simply a front for very, very powerful and wealthy men who, in my estimation, had gone over to the dark side. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we'd like to know what you think about this subject of Alfred Kinsey, about the new film that's coming out, about the new A&E special on Alfred Kinsey, and, of course, how they're, of course, bringing this all forward. Alfred Kinsey, such a wonderful man. Why? Why? Because, of course, at least some of the conservative Christian organizations are bringing out the truth about him. And, of course, there's one woman who has made this a lifetime work, and that's Dr. Judith Reisman. And I really consider it a privilege to be able to call Dr. Reisman a friend. Now, you have to understand, I'm about 6'5" tall, and Dr. Reisman is about 5 feet tall in high heels. And I'll never forget the first time I ever met her. I was at a meeting, we mentioned earlier about Human Life International, and Father Marks, who ran the organization, the sort of priest that, well, if I wasn't already a confirmed Protestant, why, he might have convinced me I should become a Catholic. He was just a wonderful, exemplary man who touched many hundreds of, perhaps thousands of lives. He'd invited me to come to speak at this Catholic meeting, and I was there, and I was, of course, just talking to somebody. I had my little badge on, and I see this little woman come running across the room, and she just throws her arms around my waist, and she's just so glad to see me, because I'm, of course, the person who's keeping the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, in print. And this is so important for her work. Because, of course, they want to get the word out. She wants to get out the information that is the Rockefeller Foundation that was funding this whole thing. And that was my first experience with Judith Reisman, seeing this little woman, with her arms around my waist, about 5 feet tall. But I'll tell you, she is one of the most charming people you'll ever hope to meet. And she used to work for Captain Kangaroo. She was a writer for Captain Kangaroo. She was one of the people working on the stage, and loved that sort of work, until they began to change the theme of and the wholesomeness of Captain Kangaroo. And so she quit that, and she went off, and she got a PhD, and, of course, worked in psychology, and eventually, of course, took it upon herself to bring out the truth against about Kinsey. And you can see how effective she's been when Fox Film, on two occasions, canceled showing of the films on Kinsey, because she was going to see the film. I mean, talk about being small and petty. This makes petty look just unbelievable. But if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. I'd like to know what you think about Kinsey, about the change of our sexual mores, about what's happening in our society today. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. I do want to comment that for those of you who are listening to us on shortwave, that, of course, this two-hour program has two frequencies. One is 7.535. The other is 5835. And that has been the first hour, and that's the second hour changed, and it, right now it's at 5970. But as of next Monday, we will be the full 2 hours, if you are on Angel One, at 5835. So at least we're going to have some consistency there as far as the Angel One, Angel Two will stay on 7.535. Tell other people about our programs. Encourage them to get shortwave radios. Encourage them to get the information they need to understand what's really going on. Well, right now we've got Roger calling in from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to say how disgusting it is to hear these promos. I heard them just on the radio so far for this new Kinsey movie. And they make it, I mean, they cast this guy in the role of this ultimate hero. I'm thinking you wouldn't have heard this kind of what's the word, promotion, you know, even like 30 years ago, even before Judith Reisman's exposure of the problems.
Well, I'm sure you're right, but you see, they're on the defensive. Everything they do is a lie, and they've got to, of course, use Hollywood, they've got to use television to frame the reality of the American people. And until the American people understand that they are framing our reality, that we're being lied to by the media, and of course, you're not going to hear programs like this on ABC, CBS, and NBC. They may touch a little on the truth, but they'll also have so much there simply to distort the truth. And that's why we offer the information. We put people in touch with the websites. People need to learn the truth. And that is, there's an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the morality of this nation. Because if you destroy the morality of the nation, you destroy this, the linkage between the American people and God. Then you destroy the nation. And that's really what it's about. That's what Kinsey set out to do. Kinsey was the disciple of Aleister Crowley. He was a Satanist. And until people recognize that, this is not about money, although money is a byproduct of it. But if you have not yet seen that video that we carry, they sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3 hour, the 4 hour, the 10 hour version. You need to, Roger, you need to get other people to see that. It will really give you tremendous insight in the true demonic forces that are aligned against the preservation of freedom in America. Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't hear him even talking about Louis Pasteur in such glowing terms. Well, God bless, Dr. Stan.
God bless you too, Roger. And if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. Our number here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, we've been talking this evening about Alfred Kinsey, one of the most depraved men in history, who's being lionized by Hollywood, who's being lionized by A&E on television. But A&E will not show, of course, anything on the other side. Why? Because they are controlling our reality. And those of you who have not yet read my article, it was up on newswithviews.com on the media monopoly, pointing out that the American media, starting back in 1983, was controlled by 50 mega corporations. And by 1987, it was down to 29. By the year 2000, it was down to 6. And today, it's 5 mega corporations. Can dominate the media here in the United States and effectively control what the American people read, or what they hear, and what they see, and ultimately what they believe. And of course, this is carried, outlined, documented in the book by a man named Ben Bagdakian. The book is very popular within the left, never mentioned on the right. Why? Because they don't want the conservatives to know what this is really all about. And of course, the people on the left are concerned, the corporations, the people on the right are concerned that the media is controlled by the left, and both sides are wrong. This is the satanic control over the media, and many of these people are frankly tied into the dark side or into secret organizations tied into the occult. And, of course, the book was written called The New Media Monopoly, written by Ben Bagdakian, who was formerly the chairman of the Department of Journalism at the University of California in Berkeley. Now he's the chairman emeritus. He's been researching this for 20 years, but his latest book, The New Media Monopoly, is must reading. It's available through Radio Liberty, as are so many of the other books that you're not going to see readily circulated, either by the right or by the left. And you hear over and over again, oh, the media is liberal because the reporters are liberal and because Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and of course, Peter Jennings and Ted Koppel, they're liberal. No, they're not liberal. They tell you what they're told to tell you. Their scripts are written for them. And of course, they are hired because they're liberal. But it's the people who hire them, the people who have the editorial control, the people in charge, they have an agenda. They are the ones who determine what you will hear and what you will read. And if you try to buck them, you're going to lose your job. As it happened to Arnold de Borgrave, who was the head foreign correspondent for Newsweek magazine. Ultimately, I think he was actually one of the editors or assistant editors at Newsweek. And when he tried to tell the story about what happened in Vietnam, why he was fired, his career was over. That's the way it really works in the real world. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here at the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, we're going to have a real treat tomorrow evening. We are having a gentleman who really believes in something strong enough to spend millions of dollars to pursue that goal. His name is Jimmy Walter, and he is a very well-to-do gentleman. I don't know anything about his finances, but I know that he has spent millions of dollars running full-page ads in the papers in New York City and buying advertisements on television there talking about what happened on 9-1-1 and that we haven't gotten the full story. And, you know, of course, we recently heard that there was a Zogby poll in New York which it showed that 50% of the people in New York City did not believe we were getting the truth about what happened on 9-1-1, that the government wasn't telling the truth. And many of these people believe that the government knew the attack was coming. Now, we're talking about 50% of the people in New York. And after that a poll, now, who financed the poll? Why, Jimmy Walter, who's going to be our guest tomorrow evening in this slot. And then of course, he brought these full-page newspaper ads and television commercials. He put this up on his own, out of his own money. Why? Because he realizes, as everyone in the listening audience should realize, that if we're not being told the truth about what happened on 9-1-1, and that was used then to plunge us into a war in Afghanistan, to plunge us into a war with Iraq, and will be soon used to justify plunging us into a war with Iran, or certainly with Saudi Arabia or Syria, and could very well bring about World War III, he realizes that if we don't get the truth to the American people, that we're going to lose America. And so he's been willing to work and work very hard personally at this. And there's a little tiny article about him in the New York Times. This is where I heard about him. I was fortunate enough to be able to get hold of him and talk to him. And he was kind enough to send me some material, some of which I'd read. And, of course, one of the books I hadn't read, it was called The New Pearl Harbor, which I've read from cover to cover. And he has other material which we have access to, raising that question, the very real question of what really happened that day. How many people in the listening audience know that one of the hijackers went to the FBI a year and a half beforehand and said, I'm a hijacker, I'm part of a team, we're here to hijack your planes and crash them into your buildings? Do you remember that part of the story? Well, if you don't, go up in Paul Townsend's website, that's a terror timeline, and of course you'll get the story there. It was April 20th, 2000, when one of the hijackers recruited for this whole thing, turned himself into the FBI, and what did they do? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I was just commenting to our listeners that we are actually going to have a treat tomorrow evening. We're going to have a two-hour section with a gentleman named Jimmy Walter, who has spent literally millions of dollars of his own to try to get out the truth out about what happened on September 11th. Calling for a new investigation, and you'll want to hear his information and, of course, the material he has amassed. And as I was simply saying, I wonder how many Americans know that on the 20th of April of the year 2000, one of the hijackers turned himself into the FBI office. He walked into the office in Newark, New Jersey, and said, I'm one of the hijackers. I'm part of a 6 or 7 man team. We are here. We've been trained to hijack a 747 and crash it into your buildings. Now, of course, you can hear the story or you can read the story in Eleanor Hill's testimony before the Senate Select Committee. We have that information. We have her entire testimony. We can simply send you the one page out of it. You can find it quoted in some of my newsletters, of which are up on the website at RadioLiberty.com. The testimony, as Eleanor Hill gave it, mentioned that they were going to hijack 747s and either crash them into the ocean or take them, fly them to Afghanistan. But the truth of the matter is, and you get this off of Paul Thompson's Terrorist Timeline, it's an excellent book. You may be able to get it from Barnes & Noble's or to be able to get it from Amazon.com. If you don't have a copy, you need to get one. It's called Terror Timeline by Paul Thompson. You can actually go to Zinnernight's site. It's all up there. But you can actually, of course, get the copy of the book, however, when Amazon and Barnes & Noble are out. There aren't going to be any more. We've been told by HarperCollins that despite the fact that the book just disappeared off the shelves, why, they're not going to reprint it. Why? Because the last thing HarperCollins, which is part of the establishment, wants is for the American people to learn the truth of what happened that day. But what did the FBI do with this terrorist who turned himself in? Why, they gave him lie detector tests, which he passed. They reported him then to Washington, D.C. And what did the Washington, D.C. headquarters do? They said, get that man out of America. Send your agents with him back to England to make sure he leaves America. Now, the logical thing, if you knew, ladies and gentlemen, if you were part of the FBI and they told you that there was a terrorist here, he was part of a 6-man team, wouldn't you want to get the rest of the terrorists? Before they hijacked the 747 and crashed it into our buildings, wouldn't you want to do that? Why would you want to send him out of the country without trying to find out who the rest of the terrorists were? Certainly during the Second World War, when a group of Nazis came to the United States, that they were Nazi spies that were landed from submarines, and one of them, perhaps two of them, turned themselves into the FBI, and then they used those to capture the rest of the spies, the Nazi spies, before they could do any harm. Wouldn't you think they would want to do that, knowing full well that there were Islamic terrorists who wanted to do harm to our country? But you see, of course, that's not what the FBI did. In fact, Condoleezza Rice, having access to all of the information I've told you, got on national television and said, who would ever have thought that somebody would hijack our planes and crash them into buildings? Why, those words should have just stuck in her craw, because, of course, she knew exactly what was going to happen. But they can't let the American people know that they knew ahead of time. Well, tomorrow evening we're going to have Jimmy Walter with us for a two-hour time, and we're going to be reviewing what happened on September 11th. I hope you'll be listening. Hope you'll tell your friends to listen. And then, of course, I hope that you'll want to get the books we carry, The War on Freedom. That's The War on Freedom. It's written by a fellow named Nazid, I think. But anyway, of course, then we also have the book Inside Job by Jim Marm. We have Cover Up by Peter Lance. Get these books, read them. And then if you haven't seen the video, Jihad in America, it's the video that the government or somebody in a powerful position in the secret government suppressed. It was first made in 1994. It shows the footage of the Islamic terrorists in Oklahoma City talking about bringing down the towers of our financial institutions. Pray for America. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Because we are at war today.